Accession number 9535, reel 13.
Mr. George Cole, reel 13. You were telling me about your position on the Crayon Hill, on the Chemin des Dames, and as the offensive approached, the second big German offensive of 1918. I wonder if you could continue from there.
Well, the night before the offensive started, the German offensive started, I was with Mr. Grange, an old major, Major Shield, and a colonel, Chapman. And there was another colonel belonging to another brigade, and we're up, partly up Crayon Hill. That was our observation post then. And we'd heard unofficially there was a German attack brewing, see? And they were observing, we could see miles beyond from this high position, see? And anyway, and our medicine was on a Sunday, and we were up there all afternoon, and I gave Mr. Grange the wink, you know, because it was getting towards over tea time, see, and he gave me a note, so I went so far back down the hill, made the fire, made some tea, and captured German Dixie, the bigger than ours, and I remember coming back with his tea, and I says, I give a wink to Mr. Grange, and he nodded. I says, will you have a drink of tea, Major? That was old Major, Major Shield, in Long Burnup Field. Yes, he says, I'll have a drink of tea, cool. Have you got plenty? I said, oh, yes, sir. So Colonel Chapman says, tea? He says, yes, he says. I says, would you like a drink, sir? He said, I don't mind. So he says, oh, you made this? Oh, he says, I went right farther back down the hill. I says, no smoke, you're on the driveway, see? And then a bit confab. They were talking between themselves about this stuff. And eventually they backed up to the left, see? And we went back. And during the night, they got a message, and it was supposed to capture the German prisoner. And he told them that they were going to open up the next morning, the attack. And so enough, at 1 o'clock, Germany opened up the attack. They watched him around being bombardment, see. And
can you describe what it was like in the bombardment?
Why, there were shells all over, dropping all over it. You're knocking hell's bell. We were in, our dugouts were strong on this, that. But our line, and you remember our line went back to headquarters. It went down. That was, every time in action, that was the first thing it went. You telephoned, like, because they were just laid across the hearth, you know, see. And anyway,
were you sent back to try?
So Marky Carr, that's another singer, Mark Carr and me went back to try and repair the lines.
Even in this bombardment, you
yes,
were expected?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You couldn't wait. You had to get out, see. So I went back, and we got so far, we couldn't get through it. And the bombardment, so went back. And anyway,
what do you mean you couldn't get through it? Can you just explain?
Well, it was that intense, the bombardment, see. And anyway, I had another go myself. And this other time when I come back, he had a direct hit on old cocos. But even bread was lying all over and this type of thing. And found out after that one of the cocos had been wounded. But the major kept asking about getting so, like I say. So Marky Carr is a bombardier. And Marky Carr and me went out. And went through the ward. back over to pull the line through, and oh, he was knocking Earl's bells out the place, eh? But you had to get through, like, trying to repair the line. We formed it so far, repaired one or two breaks, and away again. It was still out of commission. And we were cut off from everybody else then, see. Anyway, we were plodding away, so I guess so. And we took shelter in a dugout for a time. And I remember we were talking to this man, and all about what we were going to do. We had all lying from little long past the big ammunition dump. And I remember this fella saying, he said, I wouldn't take up with it. He said, if that was so with VCs, I wouldn't go along with that. And anyway, the bombing got worse and worse. So we couldn't do nothing, we were sheltering. The next finale, when we caught the Germans were there. They broke through, see, and instead of coming for the hill, they'd come around both sides of us, see, and we were prisoners, see. And,
so you just came out up from the dugout?
And the German stand with a trench mortar bomb. What do you call it? Titty beater. We used to call them titty beaters, like a titty beater bomb. And of course.
There was no question of not surrendering.
So that was a finish, that set us back, see? And we went back over, and that was the finish of the war, I see. And.
Did you resist at all when you came out?
Well, we couldn't do anything because we had no arms. We never carried any rifles, nothing, see? And we had no arms down, and he stand with a bomb in his arms, see? So we couldn't do nothing, see? So we just walked, so I come to me, see? And they were to confront the officers and them, like, and motioned them over to get back, like, say, why we had no rifle. We never carried a rifle, see? We never carried any arms at all, single, see?
Did they treat you well at all in those initial moments? I mean.
Well, I couldn't imagine why we were prisoners, like, say, where. We were flabbergasted at first, like, say, and they went away. I went back and met other people that had been took prisoner. And the Germans have sent us on to carry their wounded back, see? They weren't there to stack our wounded back, but we had to carry German wounded back, see? And I remember Mark Carr, I remember Mark and me were carrying a big German, always a big fella. And there were no stretchers, we just came in blankets, see? Big heavy fella, see? So, I says to Mark, well, Mark and Kevin kept looking at one of them, putting them down to this. All he could see was water, 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 he meant water, see? And anyway, we're carrying him back, carrying him back. And as it got so far back, I remember there was one of the old lads lying wounded, one of the six Durhams. And he was conscious, like I say, but, and you think it had to be a bloody big shell hole, reach close to him. And without any thought, I says, Marky, he says, put him down, he says, right. And I motioned to Marky, and we just tipped this German into the hole, see? We tipped him. Get in there, see, and we pick this lad up with six Durham up from there on the block north of Mike Hill. And funny, you know, we couldn't find that lad. Marky said to Sammy, we carrying him, and we never felt him. And we went hurrying back with this lad, his six Durham, see, and we got on his back, and went, and this pen was saying this. From the observation post on the Sunday. We didn't know it was a pen, but that's where the prisoner came. There'd been a reckless pen for the prisoners of war. And we carried this lad back, this six of them. We left the jail. Oh, the hell he went on about in the war, like, see. But we took this six of them back. And as we got safer back, we started talking to my sister. I said, mind, for God's sake, don't ever mention this, mind, see. Why would he get shot out of the house, see? But We left that German, we picked one more large one.
When he, what state was the German in? You said he was just moaning water, water.
He kept saying water, water. He was moaning his leg. You could see his leg was damaged, see? And he had made all the injuries. But all he could get out of him was Wasser, Wasser. And then he was swimming off, you know, see? He's wanting a drink. And
he was in a bad way then?
He was always in a bad way, see?
And when, do you think he... Were you not afraid that some Germans would pick him up and he'd tell them?
Well, we're doing, see? But anyway, we just dumped him in this hole. You think of being rehearsed. We just... in the hole. It was a big shell hole. He rolled in the hole. And this one was six done. This one, say him now. I've often wondered whether he got back alive. I hope he did, see? If he got back, I mean, he had such a tear to tell. But anyway, just picked him up, put him on. Never asked any question. Where we went.
How did you know where you were going?
Well, we just formed a line back.
There was a whole line of you, was there?
The whole lads was carrying wounded back, see? And they can't see.
Where were the German... Were there any German guards?
No, any German guards in charge. Nobody in charge. Send your back, see? Anyway, we went back. And
so you just followed the others?
Followed the line. And we got this... And mine were hurried. Fail engine centre, this, that, other, but honestly speaking, the time we were carrying that lad, that, I call him a lad, like, right, this six down, the time we never felt them. Carrying him back then, this bloody jam on my tip. And I never had any regrets at tipping him in the hole. It's funny, you know, I never felt, I never had any regrets at what I did to him, like, well, it was only common sense, and you look at the own first, see? And that sixth term, Mark him, may pass him out many times. I wonder if he got back alive, see? Anyway,
what was happening on the battlefield around you?
Oh, nothing. It was been a surprise they got all that went on beliefs and bones, you know, see? And,
what happened when you got to this pen then?
When I got the cart, they put me in this cart in this camp. We had an hour, and he'd be attended day with a red cross and this other saying. Never knew yet, because when any time attack, his name or ask him any question or anything. I've often wondered who he was and where he was. But anyway, with this camp, and we had nothing to eat, see, got nothing to eat. Then the next morning, I remember they gave a little loaf of bread. Small loaf. Oh my God, I says. And we'd been used to white bread, you know, see? And couldn't stop it at first. And they were a loaf between three of us. Nothing else.
What sort of bread was it?
And, oh, it was like black, nearly black bread, see? And, but anyway, we finished eight, we forced eight at the finish, they say. And, we're in there, and then, festers eventually to a place called... Well,
before we leave, what happened in... How many prisoners were there in this pen?
Oh, there was masses of prisoners in. Hordes of them.
How big was it?
Well, there must have been thousands. It was been out there. They'd been out properly rehearsed and got ready. It was really massive camps, see?
What were the defences?
Barbed wire. There's a big, massive barbed wire only, see?
Were there huts for you to sleep in or anything like that?
No, you just lay down there on the bottom. Anyway...
Were you guarded? How were the...
There's guards. Why you couldn't get up? There's that much barbed wire. Why you were stoned in a way. It's a surprise. Never think you're going to be took prisoner. But rather remarkable, when I was on... Last time I was on leave, it's strange. But... It kept troubling up about prisoner. And I can remember my mother saying, why, if it were you missing, I would never give up on the war finish. And it must have had some feeling like something's going to happen to you now, see? Anyway.
Did they interrogate you at all at this first camp?
Not at all, no. They just took me in there and. Eventually, they moved me there to a place called Pontevedra.
How long was that after your camp?
2 or 3 days after that, they say. And went to another camp in Pontevedra Wood. And There was about 1,400 of us in there. We got knifed there, about 1,400 of us in Pontefract Road. And we got a loaf of bread, small loaf of bread, between three. That was your day's ration of bread. And then you got some soup once a day, and you got some soup.
What was the soup like? What kind?
Well, I wouldn't give a dumb it, no, they say, but you have to cut the best part of it was cabbage. Cabbage, and kind of very, very little meat, see? And then they got this bread.
How was the soup served out to you?
There's one or two old fellas that have put me in a cocoa, you know, I did their work and laid it out. And at the start, we had nothing to get it out on, because there were no Dixies.
That's what I meant, yes.
There were no Dixies, and just get out, you could get hold on. And they finished the dish, little enamel basins out to us, see? And that's how you...
Did they give you any water to drink?
No. The start, I remember one time we were on a march and we were dying of a drink, and they were queuing up for what to try and get a drink. And the British German swung, he hit me on the nose with a butter rifle, and they doubt, whereas I was skinning, we were clamouring for a drink of water. That set a shame for us, it was business. And,
so in this camp at Pont de Vert, there was no water?
There's very little water to get there, yeah. And you used to go to working parties. And
What rank were the prisoners with you? Were you separated from your officers, or the officers?
We were separated from officers.
So just NCOs,
just NCOs
and other ranks?
And the NCOs didn't work. The NCOs used to go away, like, see? But they didn't do any work. Just the privates, and we were gunners, that was like a privacy. And in the artillery, you used to call you either driver or gunner, that was the privacy. But we saw Mr. Hebe, that was one of the officers, he was took prisoner. I saw Mr. Hebe, and he was a prisoner, see. And he belonged to Sunderland. And when he was put in the Port Ward, he used to send you away for working parties. About 50 or 100 men, and they used to line you up, and they used to put you in fives instead of fours, you know, that's army style. That would make it easier to count, see. You get to the ranks, five in a rank, iron swipe, life, fear, fame, six, seven, eight, see, 25 out of 100. And you used to go on work and fight, it's just odd jobs, see. And anywhere.
What sort of odd jobs?
Well, you did the one. The first big job we had, the railway, it used to run from Reims into Swassens, and from Swassens back towards Paris, or that way, see? And the Germans decided to make like a loop. So instead of the railway going into Swassens, they were going to come direct from Reims, follow up the line, see? And we were on those hundreds of us. I used to say, we shipped in the field, see, kind of place that to make a big curve, see, and we're on that.
You did what? You shifted?
Eh?
Can you explain what you mean by that, shifted the field?
We shifted, why? The ground was low, and went to hell of a bit to make an embankment for the railway, see, and we shifted the steps and stairs to make a big railway embankment in a curve. It made a big curve.
What tools were you given? What sort of tools were you given?
Well, you had shovels and there was barrels and such as that. And
how was the supervision organised? How were you supervised?
Oh, they just set a bang of men on there. And the NCOs would tell you what we did. We were as awkward as possible, see. We used to, among ourselves, we would always go and contrary to what they wanted, see. Them as much trouble as possible, see. But I remember we shifted this field, that's what I said, shifted the field, banking the stages, so they got this, and a big curve, and we could say from that place, we could say the observation balloons, And we could see Jerry's balloons. And then beyond them, further still, you could see smaller ones. That was up, we knew that was over, see? We could see these balloons. And all would be on weeks and weeks and weeks, shifting, as we see, shifting these fields, building this embankment. And gradually, they got the rails on. They start laying the wheel on the top, you know, see? And when I woke up one day, they got the rails on and they shunted with the engine of the road, fetching more rails to extend the rail with the couple up, you know. And this afternoon, all of a sudden, there's a bloody shell bust above us. I hope it bust near a chapel, like. Never heard out the shell bust, see? Then a few minutes after, there was another one bust, see? So, Mark and me was thinking of like as well, I was not really. Ha! I says, that's the reagent, see? And there must be terrible big shells, you know, for the distance, see? So, we all scattered, see? And then the next day, another one come over, see? And we all fled, and as soon as we got, they must have knew that we were walking prisoners, see? And we all scattered and got away, Jerry's and now. And then the set thing. And however you go on, it's marked by. They're not, they never run a train around it. It was made a shortcut for the Germans, and however you had to, because we used to say, during the war, when Jerry used to be knocking down our doors, we used to say, what the hell is that? I wonder what OEVs is doing. I wonder what the, we also wonder what OEV guns was doing, see. But fine, but I thought about that. Yeah, they destroyed it. And he never got a train around it, because as they were renovating, the heavies used to bombard it, see. And there was one day, there was two Germans, and they were the equivalent of our Royal Engineers, you know, see, they must have been, see. And they just, Tommy, that was to me, Tommy, here come, see. Instead of saying, come here come, see. So, of course, I went with these two Germans, see. And what had happened, our engineers had blown the bridge up, see, the proper bridge across the river. Was it the Marne or the Hain or something, see? Anyway, they'd blown the bridge up. And we built a new bridge with piles, cut trees down, and pile drive. And the pile drive, what they had, that it erected, and the big weight to drive them in, was maybe about 20 volts on the ropes. And pull this weight up, then let go, and it used to knock them into the soil, so. Anyway, we got the bridge, we mocked the bridge. And these two Germans, they got picks, took me with them, and they got these big nabby picks. And I got one. I said, well, I'm not going to use this like that. So anyway, I went on the job, and they were going to dig this old road up, get the boulders, to make a foundation for another road on the new bridge, see? So I started in my way. Next, Tommy, next. That means no, see, next, see? Rawson, sit down. So I sat down, see? I said, I'll manage this all right. So, eventually, the rest of the gang, all the prisoners, they were coming with barrows. And they were putting these boulders in the barrows, and they were wheeling them across to help them build this foundation with all the roads, see? So I started and helped fill the barrows. Tommy! So I made me sit. So I sat down, and the old fellows would say, what are you doing? What are you supposed to be doing? I said, I didn't know whether I've got to keep cold or not, or what, but I says, I'm not allowed. And I sat there, and they were talking in broken English, and French, and German, and I got a word or two of German off, and another word or two of French. And we talked all day, and they wouldn't let me, and anyway, I'd been there long, and they were smoking, and of course I wasn't smoking, because I never smoked, see. So he says, cigarette, Tommy? And I was going to say, no, I don't smoke now. And I was from the flash coming, I thought about my mate. See, I said, yeah, yeah. See, so he gives a cigarette. So I took the cigarette and I put my cap. See, ah, he says, you, no, motion, not smoke. And I thought, I'm in a fix now. Oh, I says, in a camp, after coffee, after coffee. Ah, yeah. And yet he gives another cigarette. Well, I just put that one in the cap, see. So anyway, I got a light. I never smoked in my life. So I got a puff of the cigarette. I don't know how I managed it. And anyway, when the box was turned, I nipped it and put that away. And later on, I got another one. And them two lads, they wouldn't let me do any work at all. And they were calling the Kaiser. They were dead nuts again, the war, see. They were saying what we were. They were calling the Kaiser and they were calling Hindenburg, just the same we were calling the other side. And we talked all day, like in broken English and German and French. And I'll give them a deal, them two lads, see. I called them lads, they were off the same stamp as me, see. Then on, when the bridge was complete, I was with a party, and we were going on another work party, see. And we met these two Germans that were coming the reverse way. And anyway, I looked, oh, this is me, oh, is they still following me? And you know them, see. And they spotted me. Ah, oh, Tommy. And I put up a cigarette. I said, yeah. So, anyway, the Germans that was in charge of us started cursing in their language. I didn't know what they said, see. But they stole other Germans. They retaliated. I don't know what they said to one of them, but you could tell they were lamb blasting them, see. And he opened his cigarette case out, and he only had one cigarette in. And we've been a non-smoker, where I said, oh, no, I'll not take your last one. And I was walking, and he put his hand on me, hey, pulled his back, say, hey, and he had the cigarette. He made me take that cigarette. And, of course, he'd be able to get some more in his canteen and that thing. But I thought many times about that German, he gave me his last cigarette out of his pocket, see. Mind there's some bad ones among them, see, there's some.
Why do you think they picked on you as a friend?
I can't imagine what I did, but they just, I didn't know, I was just double that. Maybe I was the best looking. But they just picked on me. They might have picked on somebody else, but I'm a big believer in this. I've said when I was talking last night, I think myself, your life, these things has to happen. I'm a fatalist, I believe in that, this thing. These things has to happen, like, see. And they picked on me, and they gave me his last cigarette. And I wish many times I'd been possible to contact, say, whether they got back alive or not, you know, see.